A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Some who had come down from Judea were instructing the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the Mosaic practice, you cannot be saved." Because there arose no little dissension and debate by Paul and Barnabas with them, it was decided that Paul, Barnabas, and some of the others should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. The apostles and elders, in agreement with the whole church, decided to choose representatives and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. The ones chosen were Judas, who was called Barsabbas, and Silas, leaders among the brothers. This is the letter they delivered by them. "The apostles and the elders, your brothers, to the brothers in Antioch, Syria, and Sicilia of Gentile origin, greetings. Since we have heard that some of our number who went out without any mandate from us have upset you with their teachings and disturbed your peace of mind, we have with one accord decided to choose representatives and to send them to you along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have dedicated their lives to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are sending Judas and Silas, who will also convey the same message by word of mouth. It is a decision of the Holy Spirit and of us not to place on you any burden beyond these necessities, namely to abstain from meat sacrificed to idols, from blood, from meats of strangled animals, and from unlawful marriage. If you keep free of these, you will be doing what is right. Farewell." The word of the Lord.
Praise you. O God, be gracious and bless us, and let your face shed its light upon us. So will your ways be known upon earth, and all nations learn your salvation. Let the nations be glad and shout for joy. With uprightness you rule the peoples. You guide the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. May God still give us his blessing, that all the ends of the earth may revere him.
A reading from the book of Revelation. The angel took me in spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It gleamed with the splendor of God. Its radiance was like that of a precious stone, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a massive high wall with 12 gates where 12 angels were stationed and on which names were inscribed the names of the 12 tribes of the Israelites. There were 3 gates facing east, 3 north, 3 south, and 3 west. The wall of the city had 12 courses of stones as its foundation, on which were inscribed the 12 names of the apostles of the Lamb. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. The city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gave it light, and its lamp was the Lamb. The word of the Lord.
Whoever loves me will keep my word, says the Lord, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all what I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives it, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me, and I tell you, I'm going away and I will come back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, my dear friends, I'm kind of just going out of my mind. The rectory is really, really quiet without Carlos, because Carlos is away for 2 weeks. It's for doggy obedience school. And so I finally sent him, you know, and my mother is just, you know, says, "I hope he does well and that he's not too dumb, you know." So, well, so we'll see. He's gone for about 2 weeks. But in that quietness, it gives you a lot of time, a quiet, you know, to think and to plan. And our readings that we've been hearing, especially now during the season of Easter, I enjoy always going through the Acts of the Apostles, because the Acts of the Apostles give us a window of the early church and the history of the early church. And we also, it is also very good for us to know, all of us, to realize that in the early church, there was drama. And there was drama in the early church, just like there is drama today. Not much has changed, just the names and the figures. The figures have been changed to protect the guilty. You know how it goes. But you know, there the drama of the Acts of the Apostles are the birth pangs of the early church. And we see when we heard that reading today that they were having problems. They were already having issues. And what happens with the issues is they decided to send, you know, with Paul and Barnabas, they were bringing in the Gentiles, the Greeks, and those who were not Jewish. And the controversy at that time was Peter and some of the other Pharisees and Sadducees that they have to be Jewish first. They have to come in. Let them be good Jews, and then they become good Christians. And then finally, they said, "No, we are Gentiles. We want to just follow Christ. We don't need to have that path to follow. We don't need to become Jews first and then Christians." Drama. You know, and we know people who all we have to do is open up the dictionary and look at the word drama, and we'll find their picture there. You know, and that's still very much for this day. But how do we get out of the drama? How do we not let all this stuff bother us? We have to look at things in the church with Easter eyes. With Easter eyes. And when we look with Easter eyes, then we keep our minds focused on what the Lord wants us to do. And we keep going and we keep going and we keep pressing forward. And no matter all that negative chatter and all that negativity around us, we can keep going. You know, you've often heard me say that I'd like to find a cave to live in, okay? And now a man at the last mass says, "Well, Father, why would you want to live in a cave? You're always smiling all the time." And when I says, "Well, that's 1,000 volts a day that does that." But no, there is a priest. There's a priest in Akron that has a site, a chat site, and it's actually called the Curmudgeon's Cave. And one of our priests in the diocese who's known for being very tactful was saying something about one of our brother priests. And he says, "Well, you know, Father is very curmudgeonly." And I smile. I says, "Well, when I get old," I says, "I hope they say that about me." But I says, "They probably are saying that about me, you know, now." You know, but when I say about a cave, I actually found a cave where people can live in. It was on the news about a week ago. I don't know if you saw the news story down in the Hocking Hills. In the Hocking Hills, they actually made a hotel room out of a cave. And in that cave, they have, you know, a sink, a bathroom, it's air conditioned, probably heated. It has internet. That's all I would need, you know. And then it showed a door there, and they closed the door, and there you are. I said, "I have to find out how much it costs to stay there one night. Probably it's an arm and a leg, I'm sure." But no, you know, sometimes that idea of a cave is not a bad idea. It's like a retreat. All of us need our own cave every once in a while. And we need to go there. And that's not a bad image to have in our mind. Because Christ himself went by himself. He went to go and be by himself. So, you know, when we hear of all these controversies and fighting and arguing and things that are going on, not only in the church, but in the church it affects us a lot, but in our country around us, look with Easter eyes to stay focused. And you can't go wrong that way. Now, I just want to say a little bit something about Memorial Day this weekend, just a little something. You know, Friday I went up to Independence with a priest friend of mine. He wanted to take me out for my anniversary, and we went out and we had a nice dinner. And both of us, we went to this polka dance in Independence, the United States Polka Association, which I'm a member of course. They're having their convention. And boy, it was nice to listen to that music, to just detach and listen to that music. But before the band started, they had what they call an honor guard. And they had all these soldiers, men and women, old and young, mostly old, but they came in and they marched with the flag. And we sang the national anthem. And I said to my priest friend, I says, all these people here, they may be dancing and having a lot of fun, but they remember what the weekend is about. And just think of this for a moment when you leave church today. Do you realize, and I don't know if anyone here was in the Vietnam War or not, but just think of this for a minute. All the veterans from the Vietnam War now are in their 70s and 80s. When I was here, when I first came here, I buried my last World War II survivor in Rootstown. I went back because he was a real good friend of mine, him and his wife. Him and his wife, and they died a week apart from each other. But I remember, and I went to both of their funerals because they were friends for a long time. Since I came to the diocese, you know, they were friends of mine. And when I buried that man from the last surviving veteran of the Second World War, it really is a closure of history. So, you know, when we celebrate Memorial Day this weekend, it's more than cookouts. It's more than a mattress sale, okay? It's more than a mattress sale. It's more than a car sale. We're not glorifying war, but we remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for you and for me so that we can be here, that we can be in this church, and that we can be praying in this church to be free. Because I've known priests and bishops from countries where they were not free. You know, and that makes all the difference. So they tell us this weekend, if you do go on a picnic or if you have a cookout with family and friends, which is wonderful, which is the season is about the kind of the unofficial beginning of summer. But pause for just a minute. They just say it, 3 o'clock on Monday, if you pause for a minute. Or if you're able to come to our Mass Monday morning, 10 o'clock at the cemetery. It looks like we're going to be able to have it at the cemetery in beautiful weather. Just pause and remember, and also look with Easter eyes.